Blog Talk Radio.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease." The doctors of the future are here. Welcome to Phase 3 Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Good evening and welcome to Phase 3 Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. I'd like to thank you for joining me this evening in our prime time edition of Phase 3 Wellness. Prime time is considered about from here to 9 o'clock roughly. Again, this is a different time than we normally air. We normally air from 4 to 5 p.m. Again, we're still testing this time, this prime time slot. Again, I'd like to thank you for joining me. I'd like to remind you, if you'd like to call in with a question or comment, you can do so at 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. Also, I'd like to welcome my good friends from Costa Rica and from all around here in the U.S. and around the world from where you may be listening. We definitely have an interesting show for you. Also, if you're at the site here at blogtalkradio.com/phase3wellness, we have the chat room open. If you don't want to call in, you may send a message through chat if you would like. Just again, I'd like to thank you for joining us. And we have a very interesting show for you this evening. And we're going to be talking about the main selling point we'll be talking about today, which was the title we advertised under, is we're going to talk about something that can actually do irreversible damage to your memory. And as you might imagine, it's something that we consume. And so I'd like to remind you that we're here normally every Sunday from 4 to 5 p.m., but for the next few weeks, we'll probably be going from this on this time slot from 7 to 8 p.m. Now, what we're going to do before we get started here, I am going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and we're going to get started with our first article. If you're a new listener, you know that the first segment is the Week in Natural News Review, where we discuss articles that have come out during the week dealing directly or indirectly with alternative or natural medicine. And after that, we go to the second segment, which is the week, rather the healing food segment. And this week, we are going to skip that segment. We would normally talk about a food, and we were planning on talking about pecans or pecans, depending on how you pronounce it, probably based on where you're from. We'll revisit that segment next week, and then we'll spend a little bit more time this week in our final segment, which we didn't get to before, and that is our healing herb, healing supplement segment. Sometimes, because that's last, we don't get to it often, but we're going to go ahead and deal with that this time, and we'll be talking about the herb called white willow bark, and we'll be talking about how turmeric, some of the other benefits of turmeric for a very, very painful condition called rheumatoid arthritis, some studies that have come out recently. Again, you're listening to Phase 3 Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry, and I will be right back after this brief message.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress, the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog.
You're listening to Phase 3 Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry. Be sure to listen right here every week at the same time. You can also visit Dr. Henry on Facebook at facebook.com/naturedoc. Thanks for listening, and here's to your health.
Hi, and welcome back to Phase 3 Wellness. Thank you for listening. I am your host, Dr. Keith Henry, and we are broadcasting from here right outside of Orlando, Florida. I actually practice in Orlando. But we're going to go ahead and get started. As I said before the break, we're going to go ahead and get started with our first article in the Week in Natural News Review. And this article was taken from naturalnews.com, and it was actually published on the 14th of January, so just about 3 or 4 days ago, roughly. And this article is entitled, Omega-3 Fatty Acids Lower the Risk of Many Strokes and Brain Abnormalities as We Age by 40%. So in other words, the article goes on to talk about, or the title goes on to lay out how omega-3 fatty acids can reduce or lower the risk that, or the likelihood that we will have a stroke and other brain abnormalities as we age by 40%. The article says that strokes, many strokes, or infarcts, or vascular dementia, along with heart disease, account for one in three deaths each year. It says expert analysis shows that nearly 200,000 of these deaths are fully preventable by following simple lifestyle modification steps that dramatically lower the risk of being added to the statistical pool. Researchers cite changes in health habits such as stopping smoking, more physical activity, and less salt in the diet, along with managing high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and diabetes as the most significant steps for lowering vascular disease risk. Now, this is interesting. These are the things that we all already, to a great extent, know. We already know that we don't need to be smoking. We already know that we need to exercise and that we shouldn't eat too much salt, et cetera. And we all know we need to manage our stress. These are things that we need to know, that we already know for the most part. And the article goes on to point out how all these things combine with omega-3 fatty acids can help reduce the likelihood that we will develop a stroke. The article goes on to say further that a research group from the University of Eastern Finland published a result of a study in the Journal of the American Heart Association that explains how high long-chain omega-3 polyunsaturated fatty acid content in your blood may actually lower the risk of small brain infarcts and other brain abnormalities as you grow older, and this specifically within the elderly. Went on to say how these brain infarcts dramatically increase the risk of developing Alzheimer's disease and as well as other forms of dementia that currently affect more than 5 million individuals in the United States. And it says, the article says further that many experts warn that cases of Alzheimer's will quadruple over the next 15 to 20 years. Now, Alzheimer's is one of those, I call it a credit card disease. And the reason it's a credit card disease is because it's kind of like when you eat what you want and drink what you want and live a lifestyle that's not consistent with what we know to be healthy. The results, the measurable results, are not seen immediately. But when that credit card comes due, and with interest included, and it's not payable, this is when the disease sets in. So all of those years that many people tend to eat not so well, to drink not so well. Many people say, well, I have to die of something. But one thing we don't often consider is that on the way to dying, if we eat in that way and live an unhealthy life, yes, we do have to die of something, but the quality of life until you die has to be considered. And so it's very, very important to understand that it's not just about having to die of something, but about the quality of your life. Also, I'll have to be careful that we don't slip into being selfish, because we have loved ones that want to see us live, that like love our presence. And when we think that, when we have that type of mentality, we actually are articulating a selfish position. When we say, I have to die of something, we typically don't regard our loved ones who we will hurt if we die prematurely, if we die at all, but especially if we die prematurely, or if we become incapacitated or invalids as a result of our own continued bad lifestyle choices, and then we become to them a unnecessary burden. The article was on to say that this particular study that's being discussed was the first to combine dietary questionnaires with blood testing that analyzed the levels of plasma phospholipid omega-3 polyunsaturated fats to determine reduction in the risk of small brain infarcts and future dementia incidences. And as part of the cardiovascular health study, the article says, in the U.S., researchers reviewed a cohort of about 3,660 people 65 years of age and older. The article says further that each participant underwent brain scans to detect silent brain infarcts or small lesions in the brain that cause loss of thinking skills, dementia, and stroke. The scans were performed again 5 years later on 2,313 of these participants. From prior studies, the scientists know that silent brain infarcts are present in about 20% of otherwise healthy elderly adults. In this particular study, the team found that those who had high long-chain omega-3 polyunsaturated fatty acid content in their brain had a 40% lower risk of having small brain infarcts compared to those low with the low content of these fatty acids in their blood. The study also determined that those with the highest level of omega-3 fats had significantly fewer changes in the white matter of their brains. The study authors concluded, quote, "Our findings in these older men and women support, or suggest rather, that circulating long-chain omega-3 PUFA concentrations, a biomarker, and here they put of fish consumption, are associated with lower risk and could be beneficial for the prevention of certain subclinical brain abnormalities that are commonly observed in the elderly. I would not recommend you get your omega-3s from fish. I would recommend your essential acids like omega-3s from flaxseed and there are other foods too, but that's the first thing that popped to my mind. And there's some controversy that in that, but you have to remember that there's a take and give whenever you're eating flesh. Yes, flesh may have some nutrients in it, but what is the trade-off? And is the trade-off that you're dealing with equal in value with what you with the risk that you're encountering? Where when you follow that rainbow plant-based diet, you're getting the benefits without the clear and evident dangers that you get when you consume the flesh of a dead animal. Now, the article finishes up by saying, peer-reviewed results from this study and volumes of past research bodies demonstrate the critical importance of regular consumption of these fatty acids to help maintain optimal brain as well as cardiovascular health. So again, the Creator gave us the diet that contains all the omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids that we need if we eat in harmony with the rainbow diet and if we eat a plant-based diet, particularly what's known as a vegan diet amongst many, or plant-based diet. It is the original diet. Remember, those of you who listen, you know I practice natural health from a Christian perspective, and I believe that the original diet given in the book of Genesis by the Creator is still the optimal diet. And there are many, many studies that bear this out. And so this is why when we have previous health knowledge like this, we should not take it lightly, especially for those who believe in the Creator and especially for those who believe in the content of the Bible, especially when the Bible addresses health. And it actually does address health unbeknownst to many people. Now, our next article that we're going to look at is going to be the article that I spoke about, which is the main subject of the title of this particular broadcast episode. And it is considering the thing that actually can do irreversible damage to your memory. And this is also based on an article from naturalnews.com, which was published on January the 12th. Now, this was a study that was done at the University of New South Wales in Australia. And they found in this study that a short-term diet, not even a long-term diet, but a short-term diet of junk food can irreversibly damage your memory. Now, in this particular study that was conducted at the University of New South Wales in Australia, eating food that is loaded with sugar and fat for just 1 week can have a detrimental effect on the brain's cognitive ability. But I want to say that more worrying still, preliminary data suggests that this effect is permanent, indicating that junk food is even more toxic than we can possibly imagine. The author says further in this study, in this article, he says, for the study, the Australian researchers who were interested in clarifying the relationship between high energy diets and impaired cognition fed rats a cafeteria diet over a one-month period. This diet was comprised of rat food supplemented with cakes, biscuits, lard, and a 10% sucrose solution. A control group subsisting on a rat food without supplementation was also monitored throughout the same period. The researchers found that the rats on the junk food diet experienced noticeable cognitive impairment within a very short time frame. Much of this impairment related to place recognition, with the animals demonstrating a reduced ability to notice when an object had been moved to a new location. He says further in his article, significantly, the rats also suffered inflammation of the hippocampal region of the brain, which relates to spatial memory. Now, so let's consider this for a moment. This junk food diet in these rats indicated or revealed that their memories, their ability, their cognitive functions were significantly reduced. And not only that, that this reduction or this effect could very well be permanent. Now, there's been other studies that indicated some of the same information even before this. I may or may not have mentioned them here on Faith Through Wellness before, but it's interesting to note that also can lead in the long term. This type of eating can mesh with what we talked about earlier with the Alzheimer's. Now, you remember the last article indicated that within the next 15 or 20 years, Alzheimer's is expected to quadruple. And if our younger people are continue to eat this like this, we're already there beginning to lose their memories the short term in a very, very short amount of time. It could be very, very drastic for us as a people, as a race, human race I'm speaking of. The author went on to quote Margaret Morris, the head of pharmacology at the university. And she said, we know obesity causes inflammation in the body, but we didn't realize until recently that it causes changes in the brain. She says, what is so surprising about this research is the speed with which the deterioration of the cognition occurred. Our preliminary data also suggests that the damage is not reversed when the rats are switched back to a healthy diet, which is very concerning. The author says the researchers did find that certain aspects of the rats' memories were spared. All of the rats fed a junk food diet, for instance, retained their ability to recognize objects. And then the article now goes on to ask and to discuss and analyze the relevance of this research, of these research findings to human beings. That rats are favored by scientists because their physiology is similar to ours. They're similar organs, similar body plans, similar hormones and nervous systems. Consequently, Professor Morris admits that junk foods' cognition impairing abilities might also affect humans. She said, quote, we suspect that these findings may be relevant to people. While nutrition affects the brain at every age, it is critical as we get older and may be important in preventing cognitive decline. An elderly person with poor diet may be more likely to have problems, she says. She says further, given that high energy foods can impair the function of the hippocampus, if you eat a lot of them, it may contribute to weight gain by interfering with your episodic memory. People might be less aware of their internal cues like hunger pains and knowing when they have had enough. The study was funded by the National Health and Medical Research Council of Australia, and it was published in the Brain Behavior and Immunity Journal in the last month or December of last year, 2013. So again, we have to understand that when we eat, what we put into our mouths also affects our brains, our minds. If you look at some of the studies, you will find that many of the people who are incarcerated or who have histories of criminal behavior will also suffer from severe, or in many cases, severe nutritional deficiencies. In most cases, if you look at the junk food diets, you will find that there's a higher tendency to have a criminal mentality based upon what they consume. You also see that when people's diets are changed to a more healthy diet, that the tendency to commit criminal acts are reduced significantly. A lot of people will wonder in many of the poorer neighborhoods or the inner cities why the crime rate is so much higher maybe than in some other areas. But you will find that in the inner cities and some of these other poor areas, if you go into those areas and if you go into their supermarkets and stores and you see what they eat, you'll find that most of the very cheap food is the unhealthy food. And because they're already many of them on limited have limited resources, they have to eat, so they purchase those things which are cheaper, things that they can afford. And so many of them end up buying all manner of junk food, and these things will actually cause inflammation in their bodies and in their brains and increase the likelihood that causes nutritional deficiency, et cetera, and will increase the likelihood that they will become involved in immoral and even criminal behavior because their minds have been affected and their cognitive ability has been affected by the foods that they are eating, that they're consuming. You are listening to Phase 3 Wellness. I am your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We're about to close out our first segment, which is the Week in Natural News Review segment. We've been just finished talking about the one thing that can cause irreversible damage in your brain, and that one thing that we're discussing here is the consuming, the regular consumption of junk food. And so we have to understand that it is a very serious, very, very, very serious thing to consider what we're eating, what we're putting in our mouth. If you would like to call in with a question or a comment, you can do so at 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. I'm going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and then we're going to pivot over. Like I said when we started, we're not going to deal with the healing food segment this week. We're going to go ahead and deal with the healing herb, healing supplement. We're going to be talking about white willow bark, which is nature's aspirin. We're going to talk a little bit more about curcumin, which we've talked about before, and how curcumin ties in to treating rheumatoid arthritis, which is rheumatoid arthritis is what we call an autoimmune disease, and it can be very problematic. And so, again, I'll be back in just a second. Thank you for listening. You're listening to Phase 3 Wellness.
Do you know anyone that has health issues? Of course you do. Have you noticed the rise in popularity of natural therapies and alternative medicine? Sure you have. Have you ever wondered if alternative therapies work or if it's just all quackery? Then you need to visit the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog at phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Keith Henry, ND, is trained in natural naturopathy and provides amazing insight at the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog that he has gained from years of hands-on experience. Check it out after this show at phase3ministries.com/WordPress.
You're listening to Phase 3 Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry. Be sure to listen right here every week at the same time. You can also visit Dr. Henry on Facebook at facebook.com/naturedoc. Thanks for listening, and here's to your health.
Hi, and welcome back to Phase 3 Wellness. Thank you for listening. I am your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We're going to move into our segment today where we're going to be dealing with two herbs, one that we've talked about on here on a continual basis. And if we get through these two, we may very well go to a third. But we're going to be talking about a couple of herbs here that are... one is very good for pain. The other is very good for pain as well as inflammation. And generally, when you can deal with inflammation, you can also deal with the underlying cause of pain. Now, the first one we're going to talk about is white willow bark. White willow bark. White willow bark is essentially nature's aspirin. Actually, when you consider aspirin. Aspirin was basically a synthetic form of white willow bark. When they realized how effective white willow bark was, the drug companies basically copied the molecular structure, made a synthetic form of it, and called it aspirin. And so, essentially, it's white willow bark. It's a very potent pain reliever without the potential side effects that you would get from aspirin, like gastrointestinal bleeding, etc., liver toxicity over time, etc. Now, white willow bark has been used therapeutically for a very long time. Even Hippocrates, the father of modern medicine, advised his patients to chew on the bark to reduce inflammation and to fight off infection. And many herbalists, even to this day, continue to use white willow bark to treat many different painful inflammatory conditions. Now, the most common usage of white willow bark is for the relief of headaches, and not to mention back pain as well as joint pain. And it's quite effective in helping individuals manage acute as well as chronic inflammatory joint conditions such as osteoarthritis. It's also great for, it's been used very beneficial for those who may be experiencing menstrual cramp pain. And many herbalists also recommend that women begin taking it a week or two before the start of their menstruation. So it is, because it's effective in during, it's very effective during the premenstrual cycle. Something else is very effective for that, if you are a woman that's having menstrual cramp pain for the immediate acute pain, something that's very, very effective for that is liquid calcium magnesium. You would typically get a relief in about 20 minutes if you take maybe a tablespoon or two. But if you're having menstrual cramp pain, one of the things that you have to consider is the underlying cause, which is typically going to be estrogen dominance. So when you deal with the estrogen dominance, that's the underlying cause, which is basically a hormonal imbalance, then you deal with the underlying cause, the symptoms will disappear. But white willow bark, nevertheless, is very, very good for pain management, because you don't want to be in pain while you're working on the underlying cause. So white willow bark is one of the herbs that's very effective for pain. I have one combination that I put together for arthritis and other pain, where I combine white willow bark with turmeric and a couple of other pain relievers to basically take away the inflammation and therefore help the pain. Now, as I said earlier, when you're dealing with white willow bark, the bark of the white willow tree. It contains salicin, which is actually a chemical that's very similar to the acid found in what we call aspirin. And the salicin as well as the other antioxidant flavonoids that are found in this bark are considered or thought to be the main contributors to the pain-relieving effects of the herb. Now, white willow bark's pain-relieving effect is slower, but it lasts longer than that of the aspirin. So if you think about it for a minute, if I put together a particular formula, and say if I were to put white willow bark in there, and if I were to put turmeric in there, and if I were to put a couple of other boswellia and a couple of other herbs that are known to take away inflammation, so I'm going to get the instant inflammation, and add cayenne pepper in there to take the herb to its particular place to in a quicker fashion through the bloodstream. So I'm going to deliver. I'm going to increase delivery of those herbs throughout the body, throughout the system, while at the same time putting herbs in like white willow bark to have that long-lasting effect in easing the pain. Now, again, aspirin is a synthetic form of phenolic glycoside, while white willow bark is a natural form. So the salicin in white willow is thought by most to be much safer and less toxic, while still having the same anti-inflammatory and as well as blood-thinning effects or benefits that aspirin has. And both aspirin and white willow bark inhibit the inflammatory, basically the inflammation in the body. Now, white willow bark can also benefit your immune system. It actually was considered a powerful, what we would call an antimicrobial, and is often used to improve acne as well as other skin infections and irritations to boot. And again, so if you stop and think about this, you have a pain reliever, you have essentially an antibiotic to an extent, and also you have some natural health practitioners that call white willow bark or have labeled white willow bark rather as a selective TH2 stimulating agent. Yet there is no research to prove this as of yet, but there are various case studies indicating that white willow bark may actually have this effect. So if that's true, this herb could be very helpful for individuals with Th1 dominance, as it will help balance out the immune system. Because if you have Th1 dominance, and if in fact white willow bark is a stimulant of Th2 in the body, you can actually balance off those two and basically increase the ability or help balance out your immune system, whether it be underactive or overactive, whatever the case might be. One article points out that it is advisable, and I'm quoting now, for individuals with Th2 dominant conditions to do a supplemental challenge where they intentionally see how their body responds to pine bark extract or another Th2 stimulating compound before they use it without discretion. It is shown through a cytokine blood test or through a supplement challenge that they have a Th2 dominance. It is best to avoid white willow bark because white willow bark is considered to be a Th2 stimulating agent. Now, again, you might want to know how much of white willow bark should I take? That's a good question. It depends. Some people like to take let me tell you how some people would do it. Some people like to use the dry white willow bark in a tea. And they will basically boil 1 to 2 teaspoons of the dry bark in about 8 ounces of water. Then after they boil it, they'll let it simmer for about 10 minutes, and then they'll steep it for 30 minutes. Then they'll drink up to 3 cups a day for the optimal benefits. There are other people who use the powder herb in capsule form or liquid form, and they take 60 to 240 milligrams per day. And some herbalists will recommend up to 800 milligrams daily for episodes of acute or even chronic joint pain. And that's quite a bit, 800 milligrams a day. And it is and it isn't in one sense because when you have herbs like this that are used in their natural form, the Creator has included in these herbs what I call buffers, where if you were to take that much aspirin, you would definitely be getting into a situation where you're going to be getting into some gastrointestinal problems and maybe in some liver toxicity and whatever else damage. I did a show a while back when we were on the local radio station here talking about white willow bark as opposed to aspirin. I went down listing many of the unknown side effects of aspirin, and they can be pretty daunting. And so just understand that whenever you hear a recommendation like 800 milligrams or something close to that of white willow bark, that as long as it's in its natural form, you're not dealing with an extract per se. If you're just taking the powdered herb in a capsule, 800 milligrams is probably not going to be that detrimental overall. So, again, that's white willow bark, and it is a very, very potent and effective pain reliever. Let me give you a few more things that it's been used for to great benefit. Again, headache, migraine, osteoarthritis, and even toothache. And as I pointed out earlier, it's also good for all kinds of pain, lower back pain, osteoporosis. In fact, there's been some studies that have shown that white willow bark has pain-relieving effects on people with chronic lower back pain as well as osteophoretic pain within a week. So as the herb gets into the system, and people who've had chronic back pain, maybe years, once this white willow bark gets into the system, you may say, well, why is it taking a week? Because remember, these herbs are getting into the cells, they're getting and they're working slowly to help the body. They're just not dealing with the symptoms. And so it works step by step, and as the body becomes saturated with it, then it can help reduce the inflammation, thereby reduce the pain. There was another study that found a combination herbal product containing about 100 milligrams of white willow bark helped reduce pain and improve functioning in people with osteoarthritis. And so I think I told you earlier I had a combination where I include a large amounts of white willow bark together with turmeric and a couple other herbs, cayenne pepper, a couple other ones. That and it is found to be very, very effective. And one author's are Phyllis A. Bach, in her book, Herbal Healing, she points out, let me give you a quote from her. She says, she points out that aspirin, and I'm quoting her, has an advantage over its herbal parent in that it is more sure-acting, as willow bark depends on the presence of friendly intestinal bacteria to properly digest its components into pain-killing compounds. So let's stop right there for a moment and consider the friendly intestinal bacteria. If you are questioning whether or not you may have enough friendly intestinal bacteria, one of the things you might want to do if you're taking white willow bark is to actually go in and purchase some probiotics. Of course, I advocate taking the non-dairy probiotics, and based upon this, it can actually help activate the pain-killing compounds within. She goes on to say, and I'm still quoting her, on the other hand, the angiostatic compounds from willow bark remain in circulation longer than those from aspirin. That's another way of saying what I said earlier on how aspirin works quicker, but the pain-relieving effects of white willow bark are longer. She says the amount of pain-relieving compounds available from willow bark remains at stable levels in the bloodstream for several hours. Unlike aspirin, salicylates from willow bark have no effect on blood platelets and do not increase bleeding, nor does willow bark irritate the lining of the stomach, which is a common side effect of aspirin. She says further clinical testing of willow bark has been conducted in England. Researchers at the Center for Complementary Health Studies at the University of Exeter gave 82 participants with chronic arthritic pain either Rumalex, an herbal drug containing white willow bark, or a placebo. After 2 months of use, the white willow bark medication was found to be superior to the placebo pill. She says further, a clinical study involving 10 patients who had radiation treatment found that Salix SST, a saliva-stimulating lozenge containing the active principle of willow bark, relieves symptoms of dry mouth and improves sleep as well as speech. So, again, white willow bark is one of those herbs that the Creator has given us to help us with healing. And it is definitely a very, very effective pain reliever because of the way it works in dealing with inflammation. I'd like to remind you that you're listening to Phase 3 Wellness. I'd like to thank you for listening. I am your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We are talking about herbs now. We're in our segment where we're dealing with the healing herbs, healing supplements segment, and we're currently discussing white willow bark. We're about to close our discussion on white willow bark and move on over to another discussion on turmeric or curcumin for inflammation. Again, as we talk about turmeric or curcumin, and I say turmeric, curcumin is considered the active ingredient, the main active ingredient in turmeric. And I suspect there are some others in there that we have not discovered yet. But nevertheless, right now, that is what science tells us seems to be the active ingredient. And that ingredient is curcumin. Now, you've heard me talk about turmeric / curcumin on here before if you are a frequent listener. And it is one of the there's so much science that shows that it is definitely one of the most powerful and effective herbs for many ailments, but especially when it comes to inflammation anywhere in the body. And so today I want to talk a little bit about how it's used also, because I've talked about it so many times before. I want to talk about some new information that has come out that deals with it in relation to rheumatoid arthritis. Now, rheumatoid arthritis is an autoimmune disease, and it's basically where the immune system turns on the body and begins to destroy the tissue. And depending on which tissue it begins to destroy, that's the name it's given: lupus or MS. Or rheumatoid arthritis, and these are some of the autoimmune diseases, and this is what we have happening. Now, according to this new research with respect to curcumin, there was some research done at or published back in 2012 in the journal Phytotherapy Research. And in this journal, they went on to point out that there was a way to safely and effectively treat rheumatoid arthritis without the need for pharmaceutical drugs. And again, they say the way to do this is to use a substance known as curcumin, and they point out that it is a primary active ingredient, of course, in turmeric. Now, researchers from the center, from the medical center in Kerala, India, again, they were the ones who published a paper in 2012 in the journal Phytotherapy Research. And the researchers from the center found that turmeric or curcumin, they works better than diclofenac sodium, also known as Voltaren, at relieving pain in patients with rheumatoid arthritis. And they went on to say further that, and the best part is that unlike these drugs, curcumin does not cause any harmful side effects. And their study went on to point out how in this study, there were 45 patients who had been diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, or RA, and they were assigned to one of three groups. The first group received 500 milligrams of curcumin and nothing else. The second group received 50 milligrams of diclofenac sodium alone, and the third group received both the curcumin and the drug together. Each patient was assessed using the Standard Disease Activity Score, or DAS, as well as the American College of Rheumatology's criteria for assessing rheumatoid arthritis pain. Based on the research, the patients in all three groups experienced significant changes in their respective DAS as a result of the treatment, but patients in the curcumin-only group experienced the most drastic improvement in all scores, measuring significantly higher than the scores achieved in even the drug-only group, and especially the drug-only group. The information came out that went on to point out further what the respective treatment outcomes in terms of the adverse event prevalence, in other words, the side effects. Patients in both the drug-only group and the drug that was combined with the curcumin group both experienced some degree, the study pointed out, of adverse events, while patients in the curcumin-only group experienced no adverse effects, side effects whatsoever. In their paper, in the study, they wrote, quote, "Our study provides the first evidence for the safety and superiority of curcumin treatment in patients with active RA and highlights the need for future large-scale trials to validate these findings in patients with RA and other arthritic conditions." Further, let me go and add a little bit more to this. Though this particular study does not go into the great detail about how curcumin actually works to treat rheumatoid arthritis, there's actually a lot more research that provides, or there's rather related research that provides more insight. The Life Extension Foundation, for instance, published a full-length report back in 2012, incidentally the same year, discussing joint inflammation and the role that curcumin can play in treating it. There are multiple studies over the years have confirmed the anti-inflammatory efficacy of curcumin, as I pointed out earlier. And more recent inquiry has identified rheumatoid arthritis and its associated symptoms as a major target for curcumin therapy. So in other words, if you or someone else has rheumatoid arthritis, and you will have it if you're listening, or you will inevitably know someone who does, a friend, a coworker, a family member, two things you need to consider. Number one, they're going to have to change their diet if they have, because that would reduce a lot of problems. They're going to have to integrate exercise, sunshine, fresh air, those laws of health that we talk about, those eight laws of health: trust in the Creator, sunshine, exercise, water, air, rest, diet, and self-control or temperance. So we've talked about them, and I'm going to probably spend a few weeks this year going over each one in scientific detail. What's the scientific basis behind the benefit of trusting, which is that first law? What's the scientific benefit of the sunshine in great detail? And as I go through and talk about these from a scientific perspective, you will understand why we say those are the basis of all healing. You can take all of the herbs, you can do all of the cleanses, you can do all of these different things, but if you do not integrate those as a lifestyle modification, you will not get the wellness that you could get if you followed these, and eventually it is very, very likely that you will end up getting some type of sickness, disease, or abnormality. Now, there was also a 2008 review published in the Journal of Molecular Nutrition and Food Research that found that curcumin is capable of reducing all the inflammation promoting targets in the body, while pharmaceutical pills are generally only single target. In other words, if you were to take a pharmaceutical pill for inflammation, generally speaking, say if you had inflammation in your elbow, for instance, generally speaking, that pharmaceutical pill would only target inflammation in that one area and not in any other areas, where curcumin is actually designed to draw out inflammation or to ease inflammation anywhere throughout the body. And so, again, it is what you would call a broad spectrum inflammation squasher. And again, in this particular study, they were taking 500 milligrams per day of curcumin. And so again, if you are not familiar with some of these herbs and some of the way we treat these things, and even some of the research that's behind them, go back and listen to some of these shows here that on Phase 3 Wellness on our Blog Talk Radio site here or page. They're all of the shows that I've ever done on here are still up. I have not taken any of them down yet. It is quite possible that I may start taking some down, but there are many, many, many shows that I've done here. I've talked about the benefits of all kinds of different herbs, how to use them, and the benefits of any research. That's one of the reasons that we do the Week in Natural News Review, to keep you updated on some of the information that's coming out, some of the new studies that's coming out, some of the new ways and the benefits of using even new things that come out. And this is it's very, very important to understand these things. Now, again, just like reminded you, listen to Phase 3 Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We're going to move on to, because we have a little bit more time left, as I mentioned, if we had time left, we would move to another herb. I'm going to move to another one. It's an herb that is not so popular amongst consumers. It's not so well known amongst consumers, but it's very, very well known amongst practitioners. And it's very, very effective. And this is a herb called prickly ash. Prickly ash. And prickly ash is a shrub known throughout China, and especially in certain provinces. And the Chinese prickly ash is also found in the so-called Chinese prickly ash is also found in the southeastern United States. And it's one of the best herbal remedies or herbal supplements that you can use. Now, let me pause here and just say that I might have mentioned it on here before, but I am in the process of setting up a school here, the Orlando Christian College of Natural Healing. And although we have the site up, we still have work to do on the site. We have to add curriculum and everything. We're going to be slowly, but we're going to be teaching things in much more detail. Some of the things that we talk about here, like for instance, the discussion that we had about turmeric and some of the other things that we've talked about on here, in a classroom setting, we will be going into great detail, a lot more detail, and variations in where you can use turmeric, how to use it, and it's just one herb. So for instance, I just want to remind you, if you're in the Orlando area, when we start off, most of our classes will be hands-on. We plan to expand it to you taking classes online as well. But it's going to be called the Orlando Christian College of Natural Health. You can go to the site now if you like. We're still building it. It's not ready. It's not ready for action as yet. But we're going to be making more changes to it. But we just have the domain. And we are registered under the religious exemption for the state of Florida. So we're registered with the Department of Education here. We're under religious exemption, and we are able to issue degrees, diplomas, certificates. So you can go to the site and read about what we're able to do. Again, we're not finished yet. So now let's get back to our discussion with Prickly Ash. I just wanted to stop and let you know that that's when we talk about herbs like this. This is some of the knowledge and hands-on experience that you will be getting to use for yourself, for your family, even if you want to start a business in the natural health field. Now, prickly ash is the bark of the prickly ash tree is very. It's a very beneficial. What we call a tonic and a circulatory stimulant. When I talk about circulatory stimulant, you heard me talk about how cayenne pepper is a circulatory stimulant. It helps the circulation. With regard to prickly ash, it stimulates the lymphatic system and encourages the elimination of toxins from the lymphatic system, which is very, very important. It's also antimicrobial, and it also has some pain-relieving benefits to it. It has a relaxing effect on your upper digestive tract, and it can actually be helpful for colic as well as cramping stomach, as upset as well as vomiting, a cramping upset stomach as well as vomiting. Now, let's look at really quickly here, because we have about 10 minutes, some of the benefits of prickly ash for specific health conditions. And as I said earlier, it's very, very beneficial for circulatory disorders. It's also beneficial for gallstones. Again, and I'll just give you a couple of things here. We're not going to go into all of the details that what prickly ash can be used for. There's a lot of things it can be used for. But prickly ash can actually increase pain-free walking distance. So, again, I said earlier this, it can help relieve pain. So think about combining this into a pain-relieving herb as well. So you, as I was talking earlier about white willow bark and then adding turmeric for inflammation and white willow bark, and now you have another pain reliever amongst other things, prickly ash. Again, it can help increase pain-free walking distance, and it can also relieve coldness in your feet as well as your toes. People with sickle cell anemia, which actually causes circulation problems, who use prickly ash report that it actually reduces the pain. I know someone who actually has sickle cell anemia. I know a few people that have it, and they've testified that prickly ash bark was very beneficial for them. So, again, I know that many people, many black people tend to have a higher rate of sickle cell anemia than others. And so it's very, very – and sickle cell anemia, remember, it can be deadly. But because prickly ash bark is very beneficial for the circulation, it's an herb that would be recommended. It would be highly suggested if you are a person or if you know someone who has anemia, sickle cell anemia. Prickly ash also provides temporary relief from some abdominal pain, which is caused by a number of disorders like ulcers and gallbladder disease and intestinal spasms. Sometimes, you know, some people who have any not urinary tract, but inflammatory bowel diseases will oftentimes have certain spasms in their colon. And so prickly ash bark is one of the things that can help with that. Users of this herb should begin to see improvement of prickly ash bark in maybe a week or two, depending. Each person is different. Also, there are people who have also received benefit from the herb when they begin to use it for hemorrhoids as well as varicose veins if they use it for a while. Again, herbs work slower. You may have to use them longer. But the key is consistency. Use it consistently. Sometimes it takes months. Sometimes it may take a year, year and a half. But remember, you're trying to reverse the damage in many cases that you've done over 20 or 30 years. So if you take it into context, if you can reverse damage, completely reverse damage or reverse the majority of damage that you've done over a 20 or 30 year, 40 year span in 8 months, 9 months, 10 years, 10 months, a year, year and a half, you're still getting great benefit from what the herb or supplement that you're using. Now, prickly ash bark is also helpful in healing other injuries involving swelling as that are involved with wounds that are slow to heal. So if you have a wound that's slow to heal, prickly ash bark actually can help speed healing of the wounds. Now, let's talk about one last use for it, and that's parasitic infection. Now, you've heard me talk about parasites on here before. You can go to phase3ministries.com, and I have a whole Angels of Life Natural Health Journal that deals with parasitic infection, the different types of parasites. Some look like spiders, others look like snakes, and others look like pieces of rice. It's just the whole gamut. But go there and read it. It's faith3ministries.com. Scroll down, look at your Angels of Life Natural Health Journal, and you can begin to read about some of those things. Now the chemical constituents of prickly ash that give it its heat can also help kill foodborne bacteria as well as parasites. In fact, prickly ash is especially effective against roundworms. And let me give you a quote here from the herbal, the book that I quoted from before, Prescription for Herbal Healing, from Phyllis A. Bach. She writes, prickly ash and sesame oil arrest pain from roundworms within 30 minutes, although it is not effective in long-standing cases. She says, further, powdered prickly ash enemas eliminate pinworms in children, and powdered prickly ash in capsules is useful against waterborne infections common in tropical areas because it increases appetite and lessens tissue destruction. Prickly ash extracts can be used externally to treat scabies, which is a parasitic skin condition. She goes on to point out how it can be used as a tea or as a plaster. And again, if you're pregnant, you should not take any herb without first consulting with your healthcare practitioner. Like, remind you again that nothing on this show or any of these shows should be taken as medical advice. The statements have not been approved by the Food and Drug Administration and are not designed to treat, cure, prevent any disease, but everything that I say on this show is for educational purposes only. You have been listening to Phase 3 Wellness. I'm down to about 4 minutes left. I'd like to thank you for listening. I hope that you would join me next week. We will broadcast, plan to broadcast at during the same time slot. If you're listening live, you can do so at the same time. If for whatever reason you cannot listen live, the show should be available roughly 5 to 10 minutes after the live broadcast. The on-demand version should be available. You can just find us if you're listening here at blogtalkradio.com/faith3wellness. If you have friends or loved ones you would like to share these messages with, you can give them the link, or you can download the message to a CD. If there's a message that you want to go through and listen to out of all of them, and you think it might benefit a loved one, a coworker, a friend, anyone that you think it might benefit, or if you just want to have it for yourself to download and take notes, or listen to it again in your car when you're driving or whatever, I highly recommend that you download it. There's no cost. Maybe the cost of your own CD to download it on. And remember, some of the information that I provide here, I'm paid for, and when I give seminars, et cetera. So just like to remind you that this is very valuable information. And again, share it with your friends and family members, coworkers, bosses, whoever, church members. Invite people to listen in. I'd like to thank you for listening. We're down to about 50 seconds or so. I'd like to remind you to join me next week. You can join me or visit me at Phase 3 Wellness on Facebook, facebook.com/Phase 3 Wellness. You can also visit me at faith3ministries.com. And there's lots of information to read there at the blog, at the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog, faith3ministries.com/WordPress. Loads and loads of information. Again, thank you for listening. The pleasure has been mine. Until next week, take care.